welcome to episode 334 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on robotics and automation in space and space travel. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Rings?
Rings?
All the rings.
Why are you mentioning rings?
Aren't we on Saturn?
Yeah, well, yes, but I wasn't going to start there.
Oh, silly me.
I was going to start with the White Telescope.
Oh, of course.
Which is still mysterious. We're not sure where this came from.
I'm not sure where it is right now.
It's gone the way of many other hobbies. Mm-hmm. One day we took it out into the backyard.
Yes.
Because that's what you do with telescopes.
Of course.
And pointed it at something bright in the night sky.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what you do with telescopes.
What the heck is that thing? Yeah, yeah.
We didn't even know it was out and worth the viewing at the time, but when you put your eye to the eyepiece,
mm-hmm.
you saw a little desk.
Yeah.
With a ring around it.
There you go.
And there's something about, I mean, yet another fabulous Hubble Space Telescope image. Well, there's something about putting your actual eye
mm-hmm.
to a device that has no electronics, no digital processing, just a couple of lenses and the night sky.
Yeah, and it's not somebody else's picture. Yeah, you can point. It's right there. Yeah.
So Galileo did that.
Mm-hmm.
In 1610.
Put out a telescope in the backyard?
Well, the backyard, the Duchess of Coisey.
What's he doing in the Northwest?
How'd he do that? He didn't see rings.
Oh.
But he thought he saw sort of three lobes.
Okay.
As opposed to a round thing. And he said, what the heck? One, two, three. I am one, two, three.
this is
he
a
finally
weird
decided, hey, those must be a couple of moons I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until 1665 that Christian Huygens,
oof, God.
Probably butchering the name,
yeah, by all means,
was able to use a better telescope and go, hey, those are rings.
Yay for him.
There haven't been that many missions to Saturn.
Really?
There's Pioneer 11.
Yeah, okay.
Voyager 1 and 2.
Yeah.
All three of those did flybys. The only one who hung around in orbit at all was the Cassini mission.
Okay.
And that's the entire list of missions
that's
right
weird.
There.
I mean, Jupiter's got all that radiation or whatever that makes it dangerous.
Yeah, you'd think this kinder, gentler planet would be more of a target.
And it's got the rings. I mean, the most interesting looking planet, I swear.
It is the second largest planet in our solar mm-hmm. system. Somewhere between 9 and 10 times the diameter of Earth. And I say between 9 and 10 because it has a significant bulge around the equator.
Oh, okay.
Oblate is what they call it, kind of flattened sphere,
mm-hmm.
which is true of all of the gas giants.
Yeah, okay.
But the diameter at the equator is something like 10% greater than the diameter through the poles.
That's on that scale. That's a big difference, yeah.
It might be because it's so light.
Oh.
And by light, I mean not dense.
Oh, wait. I think I heard a factoid once that it would float in water.
Yeah, well.
You could somehow manage.
If you had that much water, you'd have another giant planet.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, it's 70% the density of water.
Hmm.
But, you know, towards the core of the planet, things get denser.
Mm-hmm.
They think there are probably chunks of rocky material swirling around in there along with a bunch of liquids.
There's bound to be, right?
It's bound to be. Despite being so not dense,
mm-hmm.
it's still 95 Earths by mass.
Oh, okay.
You can compare that to 318 Earths by mass for Jupiter. Jupiter is well over three times as massive as Saturn.
Yeah.
The volume, it would hold 755 Earths.
Okay.
Compared to the 1,300 of Jupiter.
All right.
It does have bands.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sort of like Jupiter, but they're subtler. They're all in shades of yellow and gold.
Yeah.
They think the color is coming from ice crystals of ammonia
Ooh.
Floating around in the upper atmosphere.
Cold.
Yes.
Yeah.
That part of it.
Okay.
There are storms.
Okay.
Including what they call the Great White Spot.
It has a spot?
Okay, but it's not like the Great Red Spot that's just there.
Okay.
This thing comes and goes.
Oh.
Usually shows up around Saturn's northern hemisphere's summer solstice. When the northern hemisphere of Saturn is as pointed towards the sun as it ever gets.
Okay.
So it takes like somewhere between 28 and 30 years between when these spots show up.
Oh, okay.
And they just sort of form up. A bunch of little tiny white dots. They all get together and make a big white dot. It's the second windiest planet. Only Neptune is more windy.
Okay.
Along the equator, there are winds that get up to like 500 meters a second.
Wow.
Compared to about 100 meters a second is the fastest we ever get on Earth.
Okay.
But they're easterly blowing winds, which is the same direction the planet is spinning.
Whoa.
So, you know, how do you tell the difference
I'm so
between
confused.
The wind moving and the spinning of the planet? And it turns out the spinning of Saturn is a weird issue, which we talked about on Monday. How are you?
I have no idea. I mean,
are you at all dizzy?
Dizzy. How about?
Because I want to talk about spinning.
let's just say yes.
Let's see. In the previous episode, episode 333,
mm-hmm.
we were talking about Jupiter, and I mentioned its rotation is a little chancy or tricksy because different parts of it spin at different rates.
Yeah, it's all. But I made a guess and going at different clips and.
Yeah, and you mentioned at one point, you basically asked, how do they know?
Right.
How it's spinning.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Not just Jupiter, but one of the damn Jupiter, moons.
It's moons, yes. Europa. This factoid I was floating around that the ice shell,
mm-hmm.
the crust, mind you, ice is hard as rock at those temperatures,
yeah.
was rotating differently than the core of the planet.
Right. So, yeah.
Well,
prove it.
Yeah, so I looked into it, and I sure wish I had before I included it in my show.
No!
The funny thing is, it was presented as evidence that there's a liquid ocean.
Right.
Because otherwise the crust couldn't move around differently, right? So everything I read about how they think it might be different starts by assuming that it is.
Oh, what the heck?
And under those circumstances, it would mean yada yada blah blah blah, right?
There's some lost paper that's based on very little science that everybody just took as fact.
I actually did look at the actual paper.
Oh.
And it isn't really talking about whether or not the crust is rotating differently than the core.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about whether or not Europa is entirely tidally locked.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is it fully synchronous, always pointing the same thing in the same place?
Mm-hmm.
Or does that move around a bit?
Okay.
One of the reasons I think it might move around a bit is because, hey...
The crust is moving across the... Yeah, okay, I got you.
No, give me time.
Oh.
It's in this orbital resonance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Makes its orbit eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's moving at its closest to Jupiter, it's also moving faster than when it's at its furthest from Jupiter.
Okay.
And if you're just going to spin at the same speed you're orbiting, that means that certain times you're spinning a little too fast and at other times you're spinning a little too slow. Which would cause these tidal bulges to sort of sweep back and forth over the poles.
Oh, my goodness. So their man on the moon is shaking its head at them. By Jupiter, yeah. No.
They looked at pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Between the Galileo mission and the Voyager missions.
Gotcha.
17 years apart. And they're using the line of day and night as a reference point.
Mm-hmm.
Europa's at this point in its orbit. The line of day and night should be in the same place both times.
Yep.
And they compared those to various features on the planet's surface.
Okay.
And this study is the one that came out with the idea that if the crust is moving,
mm-hmm.
it would take 12,000 years to finish going all the way around.
Okay.
But again, it didn't even say the crust moving different than the interior. It just said it's orbiting a little bit slower than totally synchronized.
Huh.
Maybe. which is funny because theoretically it should be orbiting a little bit faster than totally synchronized. Oh, but what are you going to do?
Do we know what's happening? We need more missions to Jupiter.
It gets worse.
Oh, no.
It's time for Saturn.
Ah, yes.
Saturn is about $9 Australian, because that's what Jaws always says. Astronomical units, 9 times the distance of the Earth to the sun, away from the sun, compared to Jupiter, which is about 5.2.
Okay.
And it goes around the sun in about 29 Earth years, actually a little bit over, while Jupiter goes around in 11.86 years, just about 12. Mm-hmm. They are in an almost orbital resonance.
Almost.
Almost. Every time Saturn has finished one orbit around the sun, Jupiter has finished about five.
About.
Yeah, see, everybody keeps saying a near orbital resonance, and I'm not sure how near is.
Right? I mean, if it's not actually a resonance. Just because it's close, does that really count? I mean,
sure, it's astronomy.
Yeah.
With plus or minus billions.
These are your memorization tricks. Yeah.
Anyway, it's rotation. Mm-hmm. How long is a Saturn day?
Right.
There are three separate systems. One goes by how fast things are moving at the equator.
Okay.
And just north and south of that. Mm-hmm. One goes by how fast things are moving a little further north and a little further south than that, not quite to the poles.
Okay.
And one used what they used to think was the most reliable way of seeing how the core is rotating.
Really?
Which is to watch the magnetic field spin around.
Oh, interesting.
Which is how they determined the rate of rotation for Jupiter and Uranus and Neptune.
Oh, yeah.
So when they first measured this, it was about 10 hours and 39 minutes.
Okay.
That was with the Voyager mission.
Okay.
1980 and 1981, Voyagers 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. But Cassini was flying towards Saturn in 2004, and it measured the same thing at 10 hours, 45 minutes, and 45 seconds. Ooh. Plus or minus 36 seconds. Yeah. 6 minutes longer.
Yeah.
Which is almost 1%.
I mean, it doesn't seem like much, but that's a but big planet.
That's a big planet to slow down that much in only 23 years.
Hmm.
So, it turns out...
Oh, no. Okay.
That the magnetic field isn't quite as reliable a guide as we used to think.
Okay.
What's happening on Saturn is one of its moons, Enceladus, is belching out water.
Okay.
And that gets interacting with the magnetic field. It turns into this plasma donut, and it puts a drag on it.
I like plasma donuts.
So, spin around on that for a few times.
Did you just tell me to sit and spin?
All right, now that we're thoroughly confused on how Saturn spins, we have this last thingy, very strange thingy,
right,
hanging around the northern hemisphere at about 78 degrees latitude.
Is it a dragon?
Sorry. Might be a Chinese dragon. There's a hexagon.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Like a cell in a bee?
Yeah.
Beehive or part of the I Ching? There's the Chinese dragon bit.
Mm.
They're not sure. But there's a polar vortex.
Okay.
And it, instead of being bounded by a round barrier, it's bound by a regular polygon.
That's unusual. Why?
The size of the hexagons are about 14,500 kilometers.
Okay.
9,000 miles.
Okay.
Earth's diameter is only 7,917 miles.
Okay.
So, the sides are longer across than the Earth is through.
Okay.
I've landed that. And it spins.
Okay.
It spins with a period of about 10 hours and 39 minutes, which is one of the values they have for how fast the entire planet spins.
Oh.
So it might just be spinning with the planet.
Okay, that
if makes... we could ever figure out how the planet is spinning.
Makes a certain sort of sense. I still don't understand. I don't understand.
Well, there are theories, and they've made models.
Of course they have.
I saw one video that was talking about it, and they managed to get a polygonal border, only they, in their simulation, they had 9 sides. Well, you guys need to whittle it down a bit here.
But at least they got the sides, right?
Yeah, the idea is that there's some jet streams there interacting with the polar vortex, and that can cause this sort of standing wave effect.
Okay.
That gives you these polygonal figures. Maybe.
Better than aliens, right?
One of these days I'm going to do an episode on reasons why I think there might be a creator. because there are a few things that look like artistic touches, including the flipping hexagon on Saturn.
This will really throw them off. Yeah.
Anyway, that's not the only thing spinning that has to do with Saturn. There's all sorts of rings and things that do all sorts of spinning.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about that
Okay.
next time. See you then.
Bye.